right, ladies. I'm so excited to be here with you guys today. This is it's such a blessing to see your faces and and just get to share this wonderful time with you.
Good. Glad to see you.
It's good to see you, Susie. And I really appreciate what God is continuing to do through this challenging time in our world and in each of our lives. So I'm going to reread the verse that Karen brought up that's the theme of our year, basically. So it's Titus 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 3. So it's, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good." So, along the lines of teaching what is good, this world can be a scary place. There are plagues, wars, political corruption and infighting, social unrest, unfair taxation, violent entertainment, religious oppression and persecution, brutal and ineffective peacekeepers, and government-sanctioned killing of babies. This is the world that Jesus was born into. The Roman Empire was vast and brutal in that world and time, and there are many comparisons with our world today. How many of you thought when I was reading off that list I was talking about now?
Yes.
Yeah. But this is what Jesus was born into. Over 200 babies were killed in Bethlehem in one year as government sanctioned. You know, not to mention all the ones that were killed as sacrifices to idols. And basically what's happening in our world today was happening then. So there is nothing new under the sun. And our Heavenly Father knows what we're facing today. And that there's nothing in this world that should stop us from obeying the command that Jesus gave in Matthew 28:19-20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we're not at the end of the age yet. So this command is still in place today. But this can be a scary command. We're in a scary world, and this can be a scary command because there is so much that we don't know. And we would hate to make a mistake with Christ's teaching and God's word because we value that so much. It is one of our greatest fears that we would make a mistake or mislead someone or something like that. So when you're in a discipleship relationship or even just meeting a woman on the street and you want to tell her about God, sometimes the best answer you can give to a question is, "I don't know, but let's find out." Okay? Can be hard to say. It's humbling to sit there and say, "Oh man, I should know the answer to that, but I don't know. So do I just talk around it? Do I skip that question? What do I do?" You know, because we don't know everything and we're not supposed to. So I kind of did a search through scripture, and I found over 30 examples of times when people did not understand what God was telling them. People like Job, who was considered righteous, and yet there were a couple of times where Job said he did not understand. So it's okay for Job to say, "I don't know." And then the Israelites did not understand what Moses had done for them when they were trying to leave Egypt, or even before, when Moses was trying to protect the Israelites, and so he killed the Egyptian slaver and thinking he was their big savior, and yet they didn't understand what he was trying to do, and so he had to flee. This was a man of God, a man who wanted to serve God. So, and then Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible, right? Well, he made some big mistakes, and there are many proverbs where he said, "I don't understand." And then we get to Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, the great prophet. Daniel, who spoke about things to come and end times. And he had the ear of kings, and he was considered one of the princes of the realm. Daniel, who did so many miracles and spoke with God. And yet he even said, God, I don't understand. And then we get to Jesus' disciples. How many times did Jesus say, why don't you understand this parable? This understanding is granted to you. And yet throughout scripture it says, and they did not understand. Or they did not understand until its time had come. Or after he had come back from the dead. Oh, we finally get it now. Or they still did not understand. Or they were making mistakes and things like that. And then we have Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus' response was, I don't understand. How can a man enter his mom's womb a second time? And Jesus said, you are a teacher of Israel, and you don't understand? Okay, so we're in good company, ladies, when we say, I don't know, but let's find out. Okay, and then we get to Paul. Jesus has come back. Paul is a great apostle. The road to Damascus, he hears a voice from heaven. The guys with him didn't understand that voice. Only Paul understood what was being said to him. And then Paul goes on to say, many years later, throughout ministry, he's talking to one of his disciples and he says, I don't understand that which I want to do. I don't do, and that which I don't want to do, I do. But he starts it with, I don't understand, okay? And then he goes on to kind of explain, look, I don't understand, but this is kind of why it happens. So there are answers in scripture if we go after them, if we look for them. Other examples are proud people don't understand. And then I wanted to read to you one of the verses too, that was a really good example of what it means to be a teacher, and some of the danger in not understanding. And this is from 1 Timothy 1:7, and this is what Paul is writing to Timothy in his first letter to Timothy, and it says, well, I'll start in verse 6. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. So it's not helpful to confidently say, oh, well, the answer to this question is this, when you don't understand or you don't know. So it is always better to say, I don't know, but let's find out. So with all of these examples, we should be very comfortable and humble in not knowing or understanding. But we must also be fat. Okay? As ladies, we don't usually want to be fat. But in this case, it stands for faithful, available, and teachable. Whether you're a discipler, a disciplee, well, we're all disciplees because we're following Christ. But whatever situation you're in, you need to be faithful, available, and teachable. And this is what we are looking for in all discipleship relationships. Faithful to grow together in Christ with each other in the Word of God. Available. It takes time, ladies. It doesn't happen overnight. It's some of the best discussions you can have over doing laundry in a college dorm room or in somebody's house because they let you do it in their house because you don't have the money to pay for the college dorm room laundry. You know, or cooking a dinner or learning how to cook a dinner or cleaning up dishes. You know, these are the moments where you need to be available to learn what God would have you learn. And then teachable. It takes humility because There are many people that know many things, and all of us that are believers are students of the word, because that's what we're called to be. And if you come to a church, you hear things, so you know things. If you sing songs that are Christian songs, you're constantly learning about various theology. So it can become a point of pride that we all have to work on in our lives and in our hearts to always be teachable. You can learn something from everyone. Okay? God created man in his own image. Okay? So with the image of God in each person, even if it's a distorted image because the person is living in complete sin, you can still learn something from that person. Sometimes we learn what not to do, to be totally honest. But more often than not, we can learn more about Christ through each other. Because everyone has a life experience. Everyone has a story. So be teachable. So a little bit about what we're going to be discussing. It's called Foundations. And this is a basic tool that's used with many believers to begin the multiplication ministry of making disciples. Because discipleship is not about addition. It's not about one person discipling one person and then discipling another person and then discipling another person. No, no. It's multiplication. One person disciples one person, and then they both go and disciple another person. And then they both go and disciple another person. And so it multiplies out. Paul discipled Timothy. He discipled Titus. He discipled Silas. Timothy discipled the church in Ephesus. You know, so it expanded out. And that's what we need to do in our church. Karen can't reach each one of you ladies. I can't reach each one of you ladies. Christy can't reach each one of you ladies. Linda can't reach each one of you ladies. But if Karen, Christy, Linda, Regina, myself, the other Linda, Kayla, if we all jump in, and Susie, of course, reaches all the kids, we know that. But if we reach out to the person next to us and work through discipleship together, and then we both reach out to another person next to us and go through discipleship together, that's how the body of Christ grows. And that's how we fulfill the command of going and making disciples of all nations and teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded. And that's a big bill to fill, but it can be done. All right, so I was speaking with a group of people yesterday that helped start a seminary in the country of Jordan 30 years ago. It's an evangelical seminary. And in the midst of that discussion, it came up that two different church Bible studies are doing this study, are going through Foundations, the 10 basic concepts of the spiritual life. Basic follow-up is what we called it. And what it does is it gives a foundation for who we are in Christ and what it means to be saved. Because so many of us have been in the church since we were little kids. And so we know what it is. Oh, okay, I was saved when I was 3. All right, that's great. That's awesome. That's wonderful. So can you explain salvation to me? Well, you accept Jesus as your Savior. Okay, what does it mean to accept him? So this is, you know, it's part of something where we can give an answer for the truth that is within us. So, I grew up on this too because my mom was part of Campus Crusade before she married my dad, and my dad was also part of Campus Crusade for Christ. So I was with Campus Crusade for Christ for 6 years after college, and so they give extensive training through all of this. But it starts with a knock on a door at a dorm room or a walk across campus, and you start talking to someone. It doesn't have to start heavy. And by getting everybody on the same understanding of who you are as a saved person in Christ, then you can build from that. Because if you don't know why you're going to heaven, well, then why would somebody else want to go to heaven? Or how are they going to get to heaven if you don't know how? So that's kind of what it is. So the first session is called Confidence. And the goal is for believers to understand why we can be sure of our salvation and eternal security. The second session is called Acceptance, and the goal is for believers to start understanding forgiveness, justification, and the ongoing sanctification process. The third session is called Empowerment, and the goal is for believers to start understanding the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that begins at salvation. The fourth session is called Development, and the goal is for believers to grow and learn to be more like Christ. Many of you who've been saved for many years will have no problem with any of these concepts, and it will be very basic, but this is where we always have to be teachable. There's always something more that we can learn, and there's always a way we can grow. So I'm just going to go through a little bit of the goals of this follow-up, and then we're going to break up into groups of six. And with a leader with each of the groups, and we're just going to go through some questions that have been organized. These sessions you will be doing on your own, at home, with a friend, things like that, so that you can learn where you're weak in your start of discipleship, and grow from that. Effective follow-up means having a clear set of goals, a plan for accomplishing these goals, a warm relationship with new Christians, and the assurance that God is in control of producing the growth. These materials are designed to be used in four or more separate sessions. They will help you clearly and effectively communicate the foundational steps for establishing an exciting life in Christ. The goals of these sessions are as follows: to establish the Christian's confidence in Scripture as a basis for Christian faith, to help young Christians understand simple scriptural principles of spiritual growth, to begin building a friendship with young Christian, and to lead him or her into meaningful relationship with groups of fellow believers and ministry to unbelievers. The leadership books have just a little bit more on like how to develop and maintain good relationships, and that's basically just about time, ladies, and how to conduct follow-up sessions. And these should be done pretty frequently after someone becomes saved, or initially after meeting someone who's like, man, I wish I was in a discipleship relationship, or I wish I was growing in Christ, or do you have some time? These things don't take long. You can do it in about half an hour. So if you're limited on time, it doesn't take that long to go through it with someone and make a difference for eternity. So now what I'm going to do is have you break up into sections of six, and you'll each be with a different leader. So would the leaders please stand that have the foundation guides? Okay, so we've got Kayla, Michelle, Fleur, Christy, Linda, and myself. Okay? Why don't you go to the person that you would like to go to until they have six people in their group. Okay? So we're going to do it that way. And I'm going to stop this.